Josh.
Lur. Live wiggle dancing happening right now.
Lur.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Tyler Weigert.
Yes.
Tyler Weigert in the house. First live wiggle room of the season, I think, right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Ready to go. Here we go.
Get it on.
Yeah, wiggle room time. Here we are.
On.
And we are in the studio with Josh Wiggler. And.
Yes.
And just like how we brought in the final regular season wiggle room of last season, we are back here with Kevin Mahadeo. Kevin, how are you?
Surprise, I'm here.
In the house.
And this is going to be so fun here today with Kevin because
something amazing has happened.
Right. That Kevin, I don't want to out you here, but is not a regular listener to the Wiggle Room, correct?
I am not.
Okay, so, all right.
Which is a little offensive.
But he is a regular viewer of Survivor, and he doesn't follow it super closely on the internet, that we are able here to interview somebody who has not really been exposed to any sort of bias or anything from the echo chamber. That's a kind way to put it.
I think that is
the internet community that covers Survivor. So we'll find out. We'll get to interview Kevin a little bit here today.
Like your Survivor bona fides, like you've seen every season.
Yes, every season, every episode, weekly pretty much at this point.
You know, he watches the show. He's, there every Wednesday night or Thursdays. I think you time shift.
Yes, I do.
You time shift. You've got your favorite players. You've got the people that you don't like that much. You have preferred strategies that you would implement. You think about the show in that way, but you don't listen to the podcasts. You don't listen or read Exit Press or anything like that.
I don't. Yeah, I'm very into the show. I love talking about the show with the people physically next to me, discussing strategy, talking about players we like. I've always been into the show since it started, but I've never delved into the internet realm of the show, basically.
So Kevin is the man on the street that Jeff Probst runs into. He's
the
Mahadeo on the street.
The pure Jessica Johnston-esque Survivor fan, and we will get to interview him. And then what's going to be even doubly fun
is that
Kevin really has no idea what's in store.
Zero.
For the second half of the podcast.
Yeah. Just to slightly tip it, Kevin, in language you'll understand, the Wiggle Room this season has kind of become the Last Jedi of Star Wars movies.
Best incarnation it could possibly be.
Depending on one perspective. You either love it or you hate it, though. So,
and on top of all that, yes, Kevin, Josh, and I just recorded a Last Jedi spoiler-filled reviewed podcast that's up on postshowrecaps.com. You can subscribe and get that and everything we do over on Post Show Recaps at postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. Have no fear, no Last Jedi spoilers here.
No,
okay?
No, but there are porgs.
Yes.
Everywhere.
There are porgs everywhere in the room right now.
Yes.
And it's weird.
And there are no John Williams-inspired wand-offs either this week. That was a missed opportunity.
Wah, wah, wand wah, wanna.
I'm already confused and scared.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of different things to get into today. Of course, we had some great podcasts these last couple of days. Exit interview, nice chat with Jeremy Collins, a off the wall feedback show with Mike Bloom.
I heard that the Survivor Devil made an appearance this week on the podcast. That's a real surprise. That's a big get. The Survivor Devil has been a hard guy to pin down.
Yes, and from what I hear,
I'm a big fan of your stuff too, Wiggler.
Yeah, I hear otherwise, Survivor Devil. But it's nice to know that you talk out of both sides of your mouth. Unbelievable. You wand off hater.
Yeah. So we have a lot of different things to get to, of course. On Wednesday night, we have the big Survivor finale. And Steven and Sophie are going to head up the Know-It-Alls coverage. And then we're going to be there back on the red carpet, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you'll be doing your thing like David Pumpkins, your own thing. And I'll be doing my own thing. But I will at least be seeing you there.
Yeah. Any questions, Kevin, as David F.
Yes,
Pumpkins might
several.
Say? Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be fun. It's going to be great. Can't wait to see how this all all shakes out. This is, of course, the final Wiggle Room of the season. Not our last time that you and I will be podcasting together this season.
We don't officially call that a Wiggle Room the day after the finale?
No, I don't think
so. I forget.
You know, because the silliness, we check it at the door. It's all very serious, just post-game stuff. So this is the last proper Wiggle Room of the Survivor season, but many more shenanigans in our future before 2017 ends.
Okay, so just to set that up, we will be recording that on Thursday, and then we will also be recording the holiday wand off that day. You'll hear it a couple days after that, but if you have holiday wand off entries,
am I talking about
that? Yeah, I just want to get that out in front. You know, if put that bug in your ear. Okay,
due date Thursday. Get them in.
Okay, so let's, I guess, start off, because I don't want to poison the well here that we have this witness on the stand to be able to talk to him about what his take is going into the final five. Kevin, has this been a good season or a bad season of Survivor?
I mean, is it weird to say, like, neither? It's sort of like, for me, it's been very middle of the road. I would skew towards more a good than a bad end, for sure, but nothing like slammed me or like has hit me as like, oh yeah, this is like top five or 10 possibly,
top five, baby.
So yeah, for me it's sort of middle of the road.
What are your thoughts on Devin Pinto? Just
Devin,
inquiring minds want to know.
Okay, so when it started off, Devin was very much, I thought, like one of the bro type characters, almost, just like, oh yeah, like I'm muscular and I'm gonna be a challenge person and I'm not gonna do well with strategy. But like paying attention to in the last couple, especially, he's done well in the strategy department. He's come up with ideas, he's come up with plans, he's talked about big moves. He was one of the people, I believe, that told Ben, like, hey, why don't you infiltrate them and we will use this to our advantage. So there's definitely more of a strategy to Devin, but I also feel like, I hate to say it, the way he talks, it's almost like he has a manner of speaking that makes it seem like he's not as strategic as he actually is.
But
that makes sense.
Is it intentional or are people sleeping on him?
Choose wisely.
Because, Josh, this is what I'd like to do, because I'd like to take a clip of Devin talking from First One Out and then also sync it up with Devin talking now in the game.
Yes, that'd be great.
Because I really feel like he's talking half as fast as he did in the preseason.
Well, he's also probably sleep deprived. He's amazing.
But nobody else is talking at half speed.
Well, I mean, don't talk to me about this right now. I don't know what to say to that.
Okay.
Not focused on his voice.
I'm always just focused on his physique because it's pretty ripped. So,
okay, you've answered. Great.
Okay, do you have a favorite character this season?
Character,
favorite player this season?
Oh, man, like lately, it's crazy. Like, I actually liked Ben for a long time. Like, I thought he has an interesting story. I liked his like kind of cowboyness to him, but lately, like, he's come up just because of his pure ballsy psychoticness in like what he's done. It's almost like, I mean, like Dr. Mike was right? Like, he has an aggressiveness to him that is horrifying, but at the same time, like, man, that's paid off. I think he's sort of like, you know, flipped off the pin and is just holding a live grenade right now, because at any moment he is gone. Like, but I think his psychotic, crazy, over-the-top moves have been amazing.
Like, have not heard Ben described as psychotic this season.
No, so. No. But I mean, he has been playing, you know, he's been playing the lone wolf game. You know, maybe something Galifianakis-esque to his approach to Survivor.
Is that because he kind of looks like him?
He just has, like, the beard. Okay. No, I have not heard that in terms of Ben. But, I mean, he's playing a bombastic game right now, not just because of the Survivor bomb he detonated at this last Tribal Council.
Now, Kevin, in your mind, who is going to win the season on Wednesday night?
Oh, man.
Kevin, on the way over here, you laid out what you thought would happen in terms of the final three and the outcome. So can you please lay that out? Because I think this is interesting.
Okay, so this is I want to open by saying this is a very meta way of looking at it. But I saw, like, I feel like Ben is going to go at the earliest convenience. And the final three is going to end up being Chrissy, Dr. Mike, and Ryan, and I feel like Ryan's going to walk away with it because he hasn't done anything to, like, upset anyone recently, whereas, like, I feel like Chrissy has some bad blood, and so I think, and also Ryan has had a lot of airtime, a lot, like, even from the start, I was like, oh my god, this guy's on screen a lot, and, like, for that amount, for him not to possibly walk away with it would be weird.
Okay. Chrissy, Mike, Ryan, final three. And the winner of Survivor 35 is Ryan.
Yeah, that's only, again, a meta type of thing. Personally, if it was down to those three, I would have voted for, I'd be voting for Chrissy.
Voting for Chrissy.
Yeah, you mentioned Chrissy earlier today to me in terms of, like, one of the things that you have been hearing from some of your friends who are more
in
tune with, like, you know, the online Survivor commentary and everything like that. Not even from me, not even from talking with me, is, like, you've been hearing, like, about some Chrissy backlash. So what's your take on Chrissy? I'd be curious.
I don't get it. I don't know, like, because I heard that people don't like her, and I don't understand why. I like her. I think she's great. Like, I mean, maybe she's, like, opinionated on stuff, but I don't know. I actually like her a lot. She's my vote. I mean, if Ben's not standing there at the end, she's the person I would give the vote to. I think she's made maneuvers. She's done things. She's played aggressively when she needs to. And she's won challenges. I think all around, out of the people standing there, again, Ben notwithstanding, I'd probably end up handing it to her on the final three that I stated.
Who's been the player that you have liked the least this season? Whether they're in the game or not.
Out of everyone. That's the weird thing about this type of, like, almost middle of the road type season. There's no one that I'm just kind of like, oh, this person.
Right.
That sticks out, like, quickly. I know, like, people were annoyed by Patrick early on, and he was kind of like, Patrick, okay, fine. But he
but
did
you're
nothing
not an anti-Gingite.
No, mm-hmm. I'm not. And, like, you know, so I guess that, I mean, even people like Joe's, like, talking, like, entertained me. So, like, people who, like, don't like Joe because he was too, like, yappy or crazy, I was even entertained by him. Like, that's the thing, that's so unusual that I can't pinpoint someone who's like, I don't like this person.
That might be an indictment, because Kevin is one of the quickest to rage people that I know.
Yeah.
Like, he's very easily incensed, and nobody has incensed you this year.
No,
interesting.
I mean, there's been weird things, like Dr. Mike.
What
I
if
kinda...
one of the players gave a bad review to the Star Wars movie?
Well, that would be it. That would be it. Like, man. I'd have to go to war with that person immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Even Dr. Mike, who I thought was, like, playing, I don't want to say a sad game, but he ended up on the wrong end of so many things. And, like, that one where him and Joe were so cocky the entire time and then got screwed was just like, oh, poor Dr.
It's
Mike.
A lot of innuendo happening.
He did one of my favorite things this season when he just threw Lauren's idol into the fire. Lauren is someone who, I guess, flipped on me. I really liked her, but then, like, her, that episode, I was just like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. So you didn't like Lauren on the way out.
Well, I just didn't like her decisions. It was very much just like, what? Why did you do the things that you just did?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Yeah. Is that Benicio del Toro?
Yes. If you had to guess what player was the most popular with the fans that follow the show really closely on the internet this season, who would you guess that person was?
It's a great question.
Man, I might want to say maybe Ryan, because he has a lot of fun stuff to say. He's not offensive. He's got good camera work on him.
It's in my pants.
There's that. Beyond that, I mean, I would hope Joe, just for entertainment purposes. He's like crazier Tony, which I didn't think was possible.
He's crazier than Tony.
Yeah, like it's he came in with, like, he's like Tony 2.0, except whereas Tony did such a great job being able to, like, you know, juggle his multiple balls and sneak around and stuff like that. Joe was much more, he did not have that ability.
Joe has described himself, he has really taken what many have described him as to heart. He wears it as a badge of honor that he is Bodega Tony, is what he has called himself.
Yeah.
You know, like when you go, like, to the flea market and you're looking for a Spider-Man action figure, but instead it's Spader-Man.
Yeah, totally.
Spader-Man.
That's a true story. Yeah, we got Spader-Man action figures in college. They were great. We imagined a Spider-Man universe where James Spader and David Spade were both vying for the title of Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay.
David Spade won.
All right. So, Josh, any other questions that you have for Kevin in terms of getting somebody who is a Jessica Johnston-esque opinion?
Yes. So what do you think about the fact that it seems there have been a lot of idol plays this season? There's been a lot of different advantages, even a disadvantage, as Devin pointed out earlier in the season. Do you think too much, too few, not enough? What's your take on that?
You know, like, I feel like for me, I kind of love it. Like, it's something just so bizarrely different. I actually commented on this while watching, like, last week, where I was just like, man, there's been so many idols, so many different types of ways to use them, so many advantages and disadvantages, and I think it changes up strategy and gameplay in a way that's unexpected, and we saw it in the execution of what Ben did. Like, first of all, he found two idols in a row and used them incredibly, and so to be able to do that, to like have an idol where everyone voted for you and you're the one vote, to just be like, you know, like womp womp, like, and to have to do that almost twice in a row, there's like a lot there that kind of blows up strategy in a way that I feel like hasn't been seen.
Josh, let me ask you about your opinion on Ben playing the idol before the vote. Do you feel like, was that any sort of transgression in sort of the rule of law of Survivor, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, so there's like a screen cap that's going around, and I'm sorry that I'm not crediting it to the right person. Maybe Jeff Pittman, I'm not sure who had the screen cap, of the rules of the idol, that it has to be played after the votes are cast. But I really do think that, like, the way that Ben played it, A, was rare, and B, like, it rare in a way that I don't think it would be played often again, even. And B, I don't know. I don't think that it necessarily, I don't think it really changed the impact too much, I guess. I mean, look, if Ben plays that after the fact, then he gets to control the vote for the second week in a row in the same exact way, which would have been really, really awesome.
It really depends on what was going to happen. And I don't know if we have enough evidence at this time to be able to say what happens at that tribal council if Ben does not play the idol or plays the idol at the traditional point, because we have from the episode the plan that Ashley is floating out there, and we have about what Ashley told us in exit interview, but I'm not entirely convinced that that vote wasn't Ashley 100% coming into that tribal council, and they just wanted Ben to play an idol if he had one and then not worry about it, and then it's back out of circulation. And they basically were putting the vote on the person that they knew definitely didn't have an idol, and that they were going to find out whether or not he had one at that tribal.
I think that we're in a moment in Survivor where if you are pushing the gameplay in a direction that it hasn't gone before, if you are doing something hashtag unprecedented, that the Survivor gods, such as they are, will, if not smile upon you, I think will entertain your notion. So I think if you're Ben Driebergen, or you are somebody who has an idol and you are going to play it before the votes, and it has never been done this way before, I feel like the powers that be are going to be willing to engage that and see that through. I think that, you know, Rob, you and I have been podcasting about Game of Thrones. We've been rewatching all of Game of Thrones in anticipation of the final six episodes that'll air probably in 2019. And one of the recurring themes that has been coming up in these early episodes is people who think that they can come into a situation with the rule of law on a sheet of paper don't anticipate that the sheet of paper can just be ripped up. And, you know, the law is what you make it, and power is how you wield it. So I think that there is an element of
power is power.
Power is power. Power is power. So I think that there's an element of that in play, just in terms of like the evolution of strategy, if you will, in terms of the way that the game is being pushed, for better or for ill, depending on your point of view, that I think if you're trying something new, if you are complicating the recipe to a degree that, you know, the people that are making the show think that it's going to be fun and think it's going to pop, I feel like now is a moment in Survivor where you can get a little bit experimental. So whether or not that's fair is a different debate completely. But I think in terms of gameplay, I think that this is a time where you can try to push things. And I wonder about the moment, like, in terms of like quantum leaping back into this moment and like being in the shoes of Jeff Probst, and Ben hops over the front row of the people at Tribal Council and gives him the idol and says, I'm playing this for me, Jeff.
Yeah.
Does Jeff say, this is a real idol, this is an authentic idol, this is indeed an immunity idol? Or does he say, all right, well, if this is an immunity idol and if it's real, we'll find out in a little while? Like, is that the better way to play it? Like, is there a little bit of a, in the moment, Jeff shouldn't have called that as authentic right away and left some semblance of mystery? Maybe. But I think it's a difficult situation, and it's kind of, again, like, this is, you know, new ground. This is unfamiliar territory. Where are you blowing up Ben's game now if you, like, don't entertain it? So it's tricky. It's kind of a catch-22.
I don't think that there was anything that was unfair about the way that that went down with Ben. And
I'm in favor of something that's shockingly entertaining.
Yeah, that was
fun. He got called out, too. I feel like that's why he went up, you know, like, I forgot who, it might have been Devin, who was just like, you know, he won't
even play.
Right, and so if he's being called out, of course he's got to get up and do it. Like, I feel like that was the point of that, and maybe purposely strategic for Devin, so.
This is the moment from the episode.
I don't think Ben knows what he's talking about, and I truly think Ben's going home tonight.
Hey, Jeff. Should we just church this up and get to the point?
Church it up.
Well, we were trying to figure that out with Mike, Josh. You know what? What does church this up mean?
You're asking the only Jewish person in the room?
Have you ever heard church this up?
I have not.
Just church this up?
No, I don't know.
But can we think of a scenario potentially where that somebody might be able to take advantage of that situation where that there would be a different circumstance where somebody playing an idol or giving Jeff a fake idol before the votes are cast? Is there any way in which that would be something that we think could tip this in being unfair?
Well, now I think for people who are going out for 37 and 38 for the next seasons to film, if somebody has a fake idol and they're making a fake idol bluff and they're saying, I'm playing this tonight, so you may as well not come after me, like, you know, you guys are going to have to come against each other. Now, isn't somebody from the outside of that person's best interests incentivized to say, well, play it right now. Jeff will let us all know if it's authentic or not. And then, you know, if it's, you know, if it's a Dr. Mike type, that guy's just going to be like,
Well, about that.
Yeah.
So I think that you do have a couple of ways to go with that. If I'm that person that I have the idol, it depends. It's like a poker game. It's like if you have the nuts, no Dr. Mike pun intended here. But if you had
Dr. Mike pun,
if you have the real idol, I think you say, that's fine. That I'll play it when you're supposed to play it. You guys, you do you, boo boo. I am going to play my idol when it's supposed to be. I think if you have the fake idol, say like, hey, okay, you guys can do what you want, but you're going to see that like I'm going to play it and you're going to look stupid.
Yeah. Well, so the like the quote unquote legality of it aside, like the was this fair? Was this unfair? I think it was fun. And I think what was great about it is forcing these other five individuals to play in front of the jury and to like kind of test that out and to make them squirm a little bit in front of the people who are going to vote for the person to win $1 million at the end of the line here. You know, as cool as I think it would have been to have done what Ben had done to Lauren Rimmer 1 week earlier to do again to somebody else, especially if it seemed like his target was Dr. Mike. And I think that he's voting Ashley alongside the rest of the group because that's just what the majority decision is at that point. I think if he had had his druthers, Mike was the one who was going to go home. So it would have been more effective to get rid of his target if he had just played it traditionally. But by playing it untraditionally, it forces that group of five to start targeting each other openly and making them sweat a little bit and making them squirm in front of the jury. And that's Ben really defanging those people. And I think that that's a cool move.
Agreed.
And I think also, like, you know, look no further than Bodega Tony on Twitter and like the way that he's talking about how that was exciting and huge. Like, I think that putting on a show, I think this is something we've talked about a little bit, is like putting on a show for the jury, I think is an underrated quality. I think make the game come to them. You know, Tribal Council is theater and the jury only gets to go to Tribal Council and see the game from there. And they're hearing about stories about what happened at the beach, what happened in the challenge, what happened here, what happened there. Show them. Show don't tell. So this was another show don't tell moment. So I think that was cool.
I don't remember if it was this episode or one before, but there was a point where looking at the jury, Joe is like quiet clapping from what he's seeing. And that's like the thing, like that is winning someone over through your theatrics at, you know, at Tribal.
It's
which
Gladiator.
Is, yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Exactly.
You know, and I think, you know, you're not looking for like the thumbs, you know, just like sort of sideways or trending down. You want to see people like screaming for blood. So, you know, I thought it was Ben's Maximus moment and it was exciting.
Okay. We lost Ashley this week on the episode. Kevin, did you have a strong opinion on Ashley one way or the other?
Early on, actually did fluctuate a little bit for me. I was not thrilled with the, every time someone does a romance story on Survivor lately, I'm always just like, why are you making these decisions? You know, cause I feel like it immediately makes you a target, and I believe hers was, it was her and JP, and it was Jessica and Cole, correct?
Was that the team JP thing was kind of like forced upon. That was like Alan Ball was just going nuclear and just identifying JP and Ashley
power
as
couple.
Right. As a power couple that may or may not have existed.
Yeah, and you know, like, well, they had their moments together, and like, so at that point, I was kind of a little bit like, oh, what are you doing? But she came around. She definitely came around for me, but by the end, I think she became a quieter person and wasn't doing anything overly vocal until she essentially suggested Ben and blew up everything.
The lovers spat, as it were, between Ashley and Devin at this tribal council, and the whole I forget exactly what the words exchanged. It was like see you later, and she's like bye, you know. Mm-hmm. However that played, and just the oh okay ouch was just, even as a big Devin Pinto fan, I thought that was a sick burn on Ashley's part on the way out the door. I was supportive of that.
Kevin, if you had to say that Ashley had a thing, what would you say her thing is?
What?
Yeah, you know, like everyone's got a thing. Like Joe is Bodega Tony.
Josh has a thing.
I have a thing. I like pizza.
Yeah. Ashley's thing is that she really wanted to go on that reward challenge and was severely disappointed.
She's angry.
And then
she's angry.
Yeah, that's her thing.
I think she's still searching to find her thing. And
yes.
I root for her to find it.
Like many of us.
Yes.
Okay. Josh, we had also a unconventional edit in this episode in terms of
we got
Ben,
killed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ben looking for the idol, and then we didn't know if he was going to have it, and then ultimately he reveals it at that tribal council to everybody.
Secret.
Now, as you mentioned, not since Amanda back in Survivor Micronesia that have we had where it was sort of, you know, subverted from us. Do they or don't they have the hidden immunity idol? Were you happy to see this come back to the show?
I had no issue with it, and I know that some people did, but I think that the rest of the episode had done so much heavy lifting in really making it clear that Ben was going to find an idol in this episode. Like, it felt to me like that was pretty clear. And, you know, with the way that the idol was hidden on the underside of the shelter, and if he's doing it stealthily, I know that you and Jeremy were talking a little bit about, like, did they get the shot? I don't know. Like, I don't know if there was a shot to get necessarily. So I liked it. I thought it was fun. I went into that tribal council assuming that Ben had an idol. Like, I just felt like he had probably found that thing. Would it have been nice to have some sort of like Sangmin-esque flashback that shows like how he got the idol? Sure. I'm all in favor of bringing a little bit of that genius element into Survivor, but the way that it played was totally fine by me.
Kevin, did you have any doubt in your mind that Ben was going to have the idol?
No, I'm with Josh. It reminded me of Amanda and, like, you know, the entire scene with her digging there below the, you know, in the camp trying to find that idol. It created dramatic tension, but the subtext was there. And I think Josh nailed it. The subtext was there the entire time, because anytime someone says continuously throughout an episode, like, they're not going to find an idol. They'll never find an idol twice in a row. And that was, like, said several times. It's the same thing of someone who's like, I'm definitely not going home tonight. And it's like, oh, I think you might be going home tonight. And I think they laid enough there that if you were paying attention, it was very obvious Ben was going to have that idol at Tribal.
Kevin, what are your thoughts on the fact that Ben was even allowed to get an idol? And by that, I mean that the other five players in the game were not just babysitting him constantly and making sure he couldn't go off on walks. Bad on everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, just the idea of, like, this concept of, like, he's not going to find an idol again. That won't happen. And as much as I have issues with this player, I mean, Russell, guys, like, how many times that was his shtick? He did it over and
that
over.
That was his thing?
That was definitely, well,
that
Russell,
was my thing.
Russell has a lot of things, but, like, of course people can find idols multiple times in a row. Like, you shouldn't just assume that they're not going to find it. And especially if you all want him out, go follow him. Unless Chrissy was wanting Ashley the whole time and is like, you know what? I don't care if he finds the idol. We're voting Ashley tonight.
Yeah.
In which case, there you go. That's why Chrissy could have the bigger plans than is being let on, essentially.
Josh, do you think there's anything to that? Do you think that, are you on board as a Chrissy truther of that Chrissy wanted Ashley out the whole time and didn't mind Ben finding the idol?
And so that would indicate that.
And that also helps explain her reaction to Ben playing the idol in that she didn't really care about the whole thing.
think that's a little bit more extreme than it needs to be. To sit there and make like this mass explosion at Tribal is a little bit exaggerated. I don't think that Ben just necessarily blew up the entire game. I think it's just a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's all.
Oh, Lordy.
Those the words to you, somebody that is defensive of their move and their game that is going to play out in front of the jury? Like, hey, don't try and take the spotlight here. This is my big move tonight of taking Ashley out.
Yeah. Chrissy Hoffbeck, actual actuary and member of the bomb squad, just defusing that explosive. I mean, she had talked earlier in the episode about her desires to go after Ashley, that she was thinking about even doing something different at Tribal Council anyway. Whether or not she succeeded in convincing Ryan, Mike, and Devin, or even if she had had a conversation with Ben that we didn't see of, you know, we're going to go after Ashley tonight and Ashley's the plan no matter what. Though I don't know why she would say that to Ben, because in the event that he has an idol, you would want him to play it that night. It feels a little elaborate, and it feels more to me like Chrissy knew that she had this solid plan B, or at least for her. Like, she knew
plan A for Ashley.
Plan A for Ashley. Well, she, yeah. Well, it's, yeah, you know, Ben probably plan A, Ashley plan B. It gets very confusing. But she, I think that in her mind, she was really excited about the fact that they could get rid of Ashley here, break up that power couple of Devin and Ashley going into the final five. So she was, I get the sense that she was just comfortable enough with how this would play next in case Ben was immune. I don't know, though. It would speak a lot towards her power over Ryan and Mike and Devin if she had them already convinced going into this tribal council that Ashley was the way to go, because that seems so against everybody's self-interest.
I don't know, though, but Ashley pointed out we know who's calling the shots, right? And it was Chrissy who called the shot on who was going on that reward challenge, so to speak.
Yeah. I have come around on Chrissy strategically these last couple of rounds, because I think that she was kind of dead to rights coming out of when the group of four flipped at the nine. And then it was like, okay, well, JP and then Chrissy and Ryan. And now Chrissy and Ryan are going to the final three with Devin in the latest plan.
Fantasy,
and they're headed into the final five with a final three. So I don't really
know. Everyone is, right? Doesn't everyone except Ben have a final three?
Right, but Ben's not in anybody's final three.
Sure,
and
sure.
Dr. Mike is sort of, I feel like a number, but I do feel like that the tightest three at this point heading into the final five is Devin and Chrissy and Ryan. And I have to be honest, I can't tell you exactly how that happened.
Yeah. And I let's assume that that plays all the way down to the line. I couldn't tell you necessarily how that shakes out. And I think, you know, we're about, this is our final time recording before the finale. The show is about to end. We're about to find out who is going to take the Triple H title home. I certainly have my feeling on who it's going to be. I do think that somehow, some way, Ben is going to beast his way to the top. I feel like there's some sort of Holloway-esque run that has been happening here with idols rather than immunity wins. So I feel like that's just the way that the show has been painting it. And I know that there's been a feeling of like, well, Chrissy gets to the end and she can't possibly win because of like some of the things that have been said about her in exit press with some of the people who, you know, have been, you know, knocked out of the game either at Chrissy's hand or like, you know, adjacent to Chrissy's hand. But I don't know. I don't know. I've been thinking about it a little bit lately, and like, I don't know that Chrissy's dead to rights if she gets to the final three. I think that she might have a shot. It really depends on that combo of who's there. But there are people on the jury who are not necessarily like big time anti-Chrissy. Even Ashley in the X interview was saying like, I thought that Chrissy was beloved and was playing a really strong game. Cole has been very kind about her in exit press. JP has been kind about her in exit press. It depends on who she's up against, but I don't think this feeling, this sort of like prevailing thought that Chrissy will get to the end and get no votes is necessarily a slam dunk line of thinking.
And for those 4 weeks in a row where she was really getting killed on the exit interview, when it was Rourke and then Allie and then Jessica and Desi, only one of those people are on the jury.
Yeah, and not even like getting really killed, but like people saying like her social game requires work or whatever. The
Desi
really, you know,
Desi did a number.
She
on
knows.
Her.
She knows. Yeah, yeah. You know. So that aside, though, I think that that's a great point. Is like the, you know, there was that like, you know, week of, there was like 4 weeks in a row where people were kind of talking about Chrissy in that way. You know, culminating in the really now legendary Desi interview, and she's the only one on the jury to cast the vote. So I'm not sure. I think that certainly in terms of the people who have the story on the show, I think that nobody has a story with the level of emotionality to it that Ben has. I think Ben has that strongest story hook in terms of like the really character driven win. It's a hard road to imagine how he gets there, but I just don't think anybody else has had that level of stakes poured into them as a character on the show. And that means a lot to me in terms of how I'm viewing it. But I think that probably the second pick on the board in that regard would be Chrissy. Like, we have seen a lot of Chrissy. Like, she was one of the first people to talk about like what it meant to her to be a hero. We've seen like her emotional reunion with her husband. We have seen her at the center of a lot of the strategic swings this season. We've seen, you know, the storyline of her coming together with Ben and then them really splitting apart later on in the run. So I don't know. I think that there is a story there for Chrissy to be looked upon as a real winner candidate. I'm not betting on it. I don't think that it's especially likely. I really think that the likelihood of the person who I think is going to take this, it feels pretty high to me. But I don't want to rule Chrissy out completely. I think that she still has a shot.
I am still curious, one, about the answers to the question. Like, what are the answers? Why do people dislike Chrissy? Like, is there
a lot of reading to do, Kevin?
Yeah.
Everyone else has heard this already. You have some catching up to do.
Fair enough.
Yes. Yeah. What about Dr. Mike? We haven't talked too much about him, Kevin. Do you have a strong opinion on Dr. Mike one way or the other?
I don't. It's sad to say, like, my opinion of Dr. Mike is just kind of like, aw, poor Dr. Mike. Like, that's his, like, that's like my take on him. But because
why poor Dr. Mike?
Well, it feels like he's just always on the wrong end of everything that's happening thus far. I mean, but he had that great moment, like I said, of tossing half of Lauren's idol in the fire, which I thought was great. I thought that was hilarious. And like, in the entire time, you could tell, like, he was like, why would you give this to me? What are you thinking? But most of the time, Dr. Mike is always like so excited to be like, yeah, I've got a plan. This is going to be great. And then it just all falls apart and you can just see his face drop. But I'm endeared to him because it's so sad. Does that make sense at all? Like, I feel so bad for him. I like him.
He has been sold a bill of goods, I think, by a number of players. But I think that he's been, I don't want to say that like he's being duped, but I feel like that he's used as a number by players throughout the season. And I'm not sure exactly how that would translate to him being in the final three, but I don't think that he would face sort of like the wrath of anybody in the final three, where people are like, Dr. Mike, what, you screwed me over.
Yeah. I had a dream the other night that Dr. Mike won Survivor Triple H.
Oh, that would be great.
I dreamed a dream about Dr. Mike. Yeah, I thought that I had this dream where he got to the end and he won. And it was murky to me how it happened. And it is murky to me now about how it could happen.
No, well, I actually think he's set up well. I think the thing that's in his favor the most is that I think he's probably one of the more likable people that is left with the jury, especially because that he has three people there from his original tribe.
Right.
In Desi and Cole and Coconut Joe that are sitting there. And again, this is a jury of eight, not a jury of 10. Four could be enough to get it done. So if he can get those three from his original tribe and pick up one more vote along the way, I suspect it won't be Lauren. But if there's somebody else that could potentially write down Mike's name, that could be a win for Dr. Mike.
Yeah, yeah. But what you were just saying a couple of minutes ago about how, like, he hasn't rubbed anybody wrong. He's really liked, you know, he's well liked out there. But like, what has he done in terms of like the game, in terms of like really, you know, making like strong strategic plays that have worked out in his favor? He's had a lot of bold ideas and exciting and fun things that have happened on the show. But, you know, in terms of like the effectiveness, I don't know. Like, I could see it being a little Troyzan-esque almost of, you know, being the guy at the end where he could be next to two people that are a little more competitive in terms of their arguments to win. Like, Mike's certainly last healer standing, and he has survived the odds. Like, you know, he's been impossible to kind of like stomp out, and he's been overlooked a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's a totally valid way to play and win. And I know his mind is racing a mile a minute, but I just don't think enough of like those gambits have paid off in the right way that I don't know that, you know, is likability enough to net him the win. It depends on who he's up against. It could be.
Okay, well, I think that first off, it's very fun to explore Dr. Mike and Troyzan together. You know, what that would be like to get
use your
them.
Imagination with click, click, click.
But I feel like that with all due respect to Troyzan, I feel like that the difference between them is Dr. Mike is constantly looking for a move. He's constantly looking for a way in, where I believe that the criticism of Troy when he got to the end was that
I'll stay.
Yes, he didn't want to make a move. He was fine with his group and he didn't want to ultimately, you know, jump around too much, which was sort of like, I think, an overcorrection from One World, where he was trying to get people to, you know, flip against Kim and saying to Kat, well, why would you do this? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, come with me. And so
where Mike is the Statue of Liberty, like telling you to come to me, the beacon in the night.
Right. We could take on King Arthur right now. You could be with me.
Yes.
Let's
yes.
go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that he is likable. He tried to make moves. Did the moves work? I mean, he is a little bit of, you know, the Charlie Brown with the football at different points this season. But ultimately, I think that he has a shot.
I think he has a shot. I think, you know, I think that given
if he can get there, I think the hardest there's some people I think if they can get there, I think that they've got it. I think the harder part is get there. I put Dr. Mike in that same category with Ben of like, I think that while I think Ben is probably more of a lock if he gets there, I think that Dr. Mike is in that same category of if Dr. Mike gets to the final three, I feel like that he has a decent shot to win.
Yeah, I think well, that's what I kind of really love about this final five is I really do think that there's an argument to be made for everybody depending upon the combination in the end. And it does not always feel that way coming into a Survivor finale. And even if I think that there's like an apparent front runner, like a very clear front runner, I think arguments could be made for every single one of the five to take it. That's exciting. That's an exciting place to be in when you're heading into the finale. I don't know. A Dr. Mike win would be hilarious. And I'd be thrilled about it. My best friend since I was 2 years old and his little brother are coming with me to the finale. And they are even more casual Survivor fans than our good friend Kevin here by a lot.
Okay.
But they're big Dr. Mike fans. So they're excited just at the prospect of being in the same airspace as him. So it would be a great night if Dr. Mike could
pull it out. Let's just explore something real quick for the finale coming up on Wednesday night. Will Dr. Mike say something on the live finale show that will make Jeff Probst blush, Josh?
Oh, I hope so. Oh my God. I mean,
he control himself for the hour of live TV?
It's not impossible that you just incepted that, you know? It's not impossible that that is now going to happen because of this moment right now that is occurring as we are saying these words.
I'm not saying that he should, because I feel like that's the kind of thing that they could maybe hold against him.
Tread lightly, Dr.
Yeah,
Mike.
I would tread lightly that Jeff takes that show very seriously, but I don't know if he can control it.
I don't know. I don't know if he can. I mean, Dr. Zahalski, the good Dr. Zahalski, is a man who throws half an idol into a fire because he's always wanted to do it. He, you know, he couldn't help himself. He just wanted to watch the world burn. So will he, you know, will we see how he got those scars, as they say? I guess we'll find out.
Kevin, what do you think?
Did something happen that I don't know about here between Dr. Mike being a urologist?
Well, he is, you know, like many of us, you know, talks a lot about his work, and that's certainly been come up a little bit on the show, probably more on social media.
Oh gosh. I'm hoping that Mike has a great moment in the finale for sure, and especially during the reunion. Like, I think that despite everything, though, as much as I like kind of poked fun at him for his like sad course, he actually has some like great talking heads and like humorous bits.
Oh, he's
so
hysterical.
I think he's solid. So I'm hoping for at least one good like almost laugh out loud sitcom moment from him.
Oh my God. I'm on the edge of my seat. I feel like there's a tension that has been created in this moment.
Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, very there's nervous. No better way to relieve the tension than the soothing Yikes. Sounds of the listeners of The Wiggle Room. We will get to that in just a moment. Let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor. Those are our friends over at Honey, who want you to save some money this holiday season with the Honey browser extension. Honey is a free browser extension available on Chrome, Firefox, and Safari that will effortlessly save you time and money while shopping online at tens and thousands of stores. You know, it used to be, Josh, that you'd have to go out there and you're like Ben Dreebergen looking for the idol all over the place to try to find one of these coupon codes for a discount online. Not anymore. Once you install the Honey plugin, like I have, you get to see where it's actually like scrolling through, trying out a million different promo codes to try to find the one that's going to save you the most money at checkout.
The Honey, it brings the idols to you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you could just sit there. It's going to try and look every single place and tell you exactly. You can actually watch it refreshing as you're doing it, because I've been using it myself. Honey was founded by two friends who were frustrated with the lack of price transparency from online shopping. Who isn't? So they started Honey to help people find the best prices online. Time Magazine calls it basically free money. Honey's also going to show you if you can get the same item for less from a different seller, automatically factoring in all variables to tell you if there's a different price online where you can get it, including shipping costs, prime status, and more. So you can always get the best price. Honey's also going to tell you if it's the best time to buy, if the price has gone up or down. Black Friday and Cyber Monday may be over, but you can still save money this Christmas with Honey. Honey has already saved hundreds of millions of dollars for over 6 million members. It's completely free to join, and it'll literally only take you two clicks,
click,
save money. Join Honey today for free at joinhoney.com/survive. That's joinhoney.com/survive.
That's incredible. You have all of that memorized. Like, you're just reciting that completely without any assistance. It's nice to have this visual cue here in the Wiggle Room to confirm that. I'd always suspected.
Yes. Well, that's what I do before I go to bed. I say all of my advertisements over and over again until I have them all
committed
to memory.
You're so good. You're really great at what you do.
So, Kevin, what do you think is going to come next in the podcast?
I'm not sure. You said earlier something about a wand off, and I don't know what that means.
Stop right there. This is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You ought to know right now, before you go any further, it's the Wanda. It'll be
to watch somebody get wand off for the first time in person is one of life's rarest treats.
Do you feel like that people will start uploading wand off reaction videos to YouTube, Josh? Like
really
the Red Wedding.
Oh my God.
What? We should have been periscoping this whole thing.
Oh my God, because Kevin's reaction was priceless. He's still recovering.
Well, I think that this may be the beginning of many, because I think he really does not know what's in store. Okay.
Was that you?
No.
Wanda.
What are you talking about? That's Wanda's shirt. We're in the Wanda. Arena.
Okay. So, Kevin, every week the listeners of the Wiggle Room, they send us their best song parodies, and then we have some honorable, dishonorable mentions, and then we have the listeners vote on the top five Wanda songs of the week, or the Wandoff songs of the week. The tabulator, Kurt Clark, puts together the results for us after we let people know where to vote. The tabulator wanted to let us know that there were two major voting infractions that
Again?
He had to take care of. One came from Richardson, Texas, And the second one, he says, was in an office park on the west side of St. Louis. So wow. he's really keying in on it. He lives for this.
He's like the people from Enemy of the State. No,
he's like, go ahead, make my day.
Yeah, he wants this. He's got like the bird's eye view. He could track you down to the exact office that you were trying to stuff the ballots from. Don't mess with the tabulator. Stop stuffing the ballots. It's just the wand off.
Rebel scum.
Rebel scum.
All right. In third place for last week, it was JD and Leah with the Natalie Brulia song,
Torn.
Number two with 14.8% of the vote was the song All About the Family Biz. I think maybe some of the Lauren songs cannibalized each other last week. That was from Alex G. And the winner of last week's Wand Off was the newcomer, Becky and Taylor, with 55.10% of the vote.
Wow.
Probably the most lopsided vote we've had in quite some time. With Goodbye, Lauren Rimmer.
Goodbye, Lauren Rimmer. You let down all of your fans.
Oh my God.
You gave Mike half of your idol. You should have played it and things like that.
Yes, all right. Congratulations.
Whoa. That was amazing. Like,
wait, Kevin's reaction. Let's go to Kevin for the reaction to the wand off.
That is incredible. Like, that is high production, like sound, like music right there. Not at all what I heard when this segment started, which was
wow, shading Wanda.
Wow, Shirk and Wanda.
Okay, all right.
Kevin,
so,
how do you feel about the wand off so far? Still a little confused.
Yeah, it's divisive. It's divisive.
Very amused. Confused but amused.
Confused but amused. An amused Boosh.
Yeah.
As it were.
I'm going to have that wand up song in my head forever now, though. Like,
oh, well, it might get earwormed out pretty quickly. We've got a lot more to toss into your ear momentarily, like a classic Jennifer Lanzetti situation happening imminently.
Now, the one part of this that Kevin probably still does not know is that the wand off actually has its own host. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in the host of the wand off.
Oh, God, I'm
here.
A little nervous. I don't get starstruck very easily because of the nature of my job. I interview a lot of high profile people, but I'm kind of on the edge of my seat to see Casey in person.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's welcome in the host of the Wand Off, the ghost of Casey Kasem.
No.
Rob, it's such a great honor to be back here hosting the Wand Off once again.
Oh, my God. Nervous.
Great to see you, Josh, in the studio.
Oh, my God, Casey. I'm such a fan. I am so honored to be here in your presence. It is truly an honor and a Jervis. Oh, my gosh. I am.
In honor of Kevin being here, I'd like to be referred to as the Force Ghost of Casey Kasem.
Oh, my God. Master Kasem.
A living, living, well, I guess unliving
no,
legend.
Not a living legend.
No, not anymore. This week, the wand off gets kicked off with our honorable and dishonorable mentions. We'll start one off with a question about our host of Survivor, Jeff Probst. This is a song by Josh M.
Snuff fires out every Wednesday night. He hosts a show and referees the fights. And as the seasons pass, he always looks the same. He'll look forever on TV. That's about the time he finds out his name. Doesn't even look like he's 43. What's the secret? I don't even know. What the hell at first? I'm shocked my friends say he should act his age.
That was the latest by the hit band Blink-180 Road 2.
I was hoping for Blink-180 2v2.
2v2.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. This is a honorable mention from Dan Sinensky.
Cause Ashley's a sheep and Devin's little Bo Peep and Christy's the butcher. They brought about her slaughter. Jeff said fish or meat. The Marine said not me. She's well done. Her game's dead. She always followed orders. She got cooked to order.
Was that Weezer?
It was from Some 41 World. Let's keep going with the honorable, dishonorable mentions. Here's Connor and Diane from Toronto, who have a song about
Ashley's exit.
Hey, listen, Ashley, I'm sorry. You voted out, don't worry. You will still get to be part of the jury. Blame them if your torch is nothing. Your airtime is low. Just so you know, Ponderosa's nearby. Time to go.
That was the Backstreet Cowboys.
Man, I really do have to say, I think Ashley's Ponderosa video, she should take pride in the fact that she's got the best Ponderosa video of the season for sure.
We're counting down the number one Ponderosa video of the season, and it belongs to Ashley Nolan. Let's go to our next entry from the dishonorable entries of the Wandoff. Here's Jillian E. with a song about Ben being safe.
So I'm safe tonight, and out around my neck, I'm here tomorrow. So pick another bet, I'm safe tonight. So ask your girl, bye-bye, I'm here tomorrow. There's not a fish to cry.
That was another hit by Eagle Eye Cherry Beefin.
Honest question. Are almost all of the submissions like from the late 90s?
That was the peak of the music industry as decided by the Wandoff.
Yes. Oh, my God. Eagle Eye Cherry Beefin. Beautiful.
Here's Alex with a song about Ben's vote.
Oh, Ben just showed me that he has found an idol. I think I'm gonna crap my pants. He said, vote for Mike, which Chrissy didn't like. I guess I'll vote Ashley instead. Well, the votes start coming and they don't stop coming. Ashley's gone and she didn't go hugging. Did it make sense not to vote for Mike? My ideas get smart, but my votes get dumber. What do I do? What does Sherry see? So what's wrong with voting out Ashley? I'm sorry, Ashley, don't go. Now I'm stuck with Ryan. Oh, no.
Now what?
I don't know.
What happened?
We got it. Very catchy opening. And
oh,
then
my God.
The chorus went into, hey, now you're a survivor.
Survivor All-Stars. Yeah.
This next one was a personal favorite of mine. But in another competitive week in the Wandoff, it just couldn't make the cut. Instead, I'm going to use this for my message on my answering machine.
Yes.
Thank you, Devin and Chrissy. I can't believe it myself. Suddenly I got picked for the reward. Should have been somebody else.
Shocking for one of them, not so shocking for the other.
Believe it or not, I'm eating chicken and lamb, and I just made plans to find no tree. Who is on next? Oh, it's gotta be Ben, unless he finds immunity. Oh, snap, he did vote Ashley.
Send this game. Oh,
that is incredible.
That was the theme song to the greatest American hero versus healers versus hustlers. Now, we've got one more dishonorable mention this week. It's one that might be a little unsuitable for younger audiences.
Oh, yes.
Tight red panties. Tight red panties, little Ryan. Tight red panties. Tight red panties, little Ryan. Do you wear a turtleneck? Do you get thrown on a mat by a hill so bad? Tight red panties. Tight red panties, little Ryan. Tight red panties. Tight red panties, little Ryan.
Wow. Wow.
What?
Wow. That was the latest from Lisi Linares Buskowskis.
You don't even need to do anything.
Wasn't sure what to do with that one.
Oh my God. There's an instrumental Tidy Whiteys out there. Like, or was this person in direct contact with Lacey?
I believe that Tidy Whiteys is the same eight notes over and over again with a 55-second prelude. All right.
Can't believe it's taken until the final wiggle room of the season to hear Tidy Whiteys, but that is, that's good. That's great. Oh, that was great.
Kevin Mahadeo, are you ready to hear the top five Wandoff entries in the country?
Oh, I am ready and waiting.
Okay.
Oh, God.
We'll kick things off this week with someone who's still a little sore about losing Lauren. Here's DJ LaBelle Klein, which is not Brett LaBelle.
Just clearing that up.
Just clearing that up with a song about Lauren.
It's been 1 week since an idol play. Since the fisherman out, yeah, I'm angry. Five folks coming after Ben saying he's a fun runner, no one can beat him. Three teams in a challenge game. Devin and Chrissy won the prize and they took Ryan. Now they say they're the final three. So why is Chrissy convinced to get rid of Ashley? Hold it, now they've seen the sunrise flash up in Ben's eyes. He thinks they put another idol out. Have people seen the Marine? You know they better intervene. Some people after him, you all know what I'm talking about. Not rocket science. If you wanna win, you gotta stop Ben. Someone should follow his movements, but Chrissy has a new plan. Ally with two men, but will it lead to improvements? Gonna see if D would flee Ashley, then he'd be free to final three. He might not do it, but a worthy opportunity. Do we see that Ben is gone again, and with a grin, another win. He found an idol, it's another weak immunity. How can I help it if I feel the need to roll my eyes? Too many idols, I cannot overemphasize. And do they realize that Ben could go all the way? Can't understand what I mean, Mike Holloway. Ben played his idol and they voted off a female. Forgive me, Wanda, but I'm having deja vu. It's been 1 week since an idol play. Are you kidding? There's still a new advantage. Four folks left to take out Ben. Repeat, he's a fun runner, no one can beat him. Three times he has slipped away. I realize that this is hard, but are you kidding? Will he be in the final three? We gotta sit back and wait to see the finale.
Wow.
I am so hyped to see the finale.
Impressive. Most impressive.
I was wrong. I wasn't ready.
Wow. Wow.
That was the Bare Naked Ladies, a.k.a. Jenna and Heidi.
Wow, that was great. Ow, ow. That was legitimately great. Both the Jenna and Heidi joke, which was mm-hmm. fantastic. Casey, of course, Forrest Ghost Casey. Man, that was really fun. You got a lot in there. Like,
he
really
got the speed, too.
Of, like,
he hit that speed rap
the recent
on that
season. Wish you could have hit the falsetto. That would have been nice. That would have been nice, but beggars can't be choosers.
This next entry, number two this week, is from one of our listeners, Greg McBean. Ooh, and we don't Greg get McBean. A lot of country in the wand off, so that's why we're making this one in the top five.
Never thought Ben had an idol. Age 36, they should be out of the game. She didn't think she'd be sitting on the jury with Colin Dizzy. She was just a lifeguard from Florida. Thought she could trust that surfer road and did. Then Ben pulled it out, the idol, and gave it to Jeff, no doubt. He said, I'm in the final five. Good game, Ash, goodbye. Ash is not gonna vote Devlin to win. Ash is not gonna vote Devlin to win. She's not mad at Ryan, she's not mad at Ben. She's just mad at goddamn Dev. He promised her the world and took it away. Won't get her vote in the end.
Wow!
I guess I like country now.
Wow!
That was the latest from Bate Blake Shelton.
Oh my God, the golden boy.
Golden boy.
Wow, Gregory McBean.
Yeah.
Who knew you had the voice? Impressive. Well done, sir. Oh my God, I don't know the song, but you got chops.
Number three this week is a song from Andrew B. talking about Ben and his idol play.
Not only
Yeah, tribal, yes, it's true. You were aggravated to be exaggerated. He really got to you, but you can't vote him out.
Been dropped a bomb on you, Chrissy. Been dropped a bomb on you.
No, you can't vote him out.
Been dropped a bomb on you, Chrissy. Been dropped a bomb on you.
Even Ryan Friend, the bin bomb dropped again. He would have never guessed. Roger Piggott's just commotion. Ain't no massive explosion. No, you're just not impressed. But you can vote him out.
Been dropped a bomb on you, Chrissy. Been dropped a bomb on you.
No, you can vote him out.
Been dropped a bomb on you, Chrissy. Been dropped a bomb on you.
No, he didn't. Not that big of a deal.
Maybe the best punchline of any Wandoff entry all season. That was hysterical.
That was by a little disco group known as the Gap Band Enhance. Number four this week.
My God.
Shannon Gates returns.
Shannon!
And she's got a song about the way that Ashley went out of the game.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Been out at Lauren. But that don't mean that we're not a pair. You're on a reward, and I'm back here worrying about you making final three somewhere. I picture the food I could have won with you. Well, you're no Rimmer. You won't be the winner. Ooh, no jury vote for you. Yeah, go and tell your little friend Ryan. See you writing my name with your new allies, and I won't hug you. I should have stuck with JP. He had a good size. Now I won't hug you. It was awkward too. If I stayed with JP, he'd still be with me. And things like that.
And things like that.
And I'll be watching this mess now from the jury bench, but I won't hug you.
That's the latest from CC Low Green.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, CC Low Green.
And our fifth and final entry into this week's Wandoff comes to us from Bob from Columbus. He's got a song, and it's all about Josh's bae, Devin Pinto.
You won the challenge, but then you did damage. You did not pick me, and that is not cool. When I say, this play is a shocking thing from one of them that really screws up my whole day. No, it's not cool. Devin Pinto, your vote was a heartbreaker. Devin Pinto, your vote was a life taker. Dear Devin, I tell you, in spite of our alliance, you joined up with Chrissy. She wears the pants, so I hear. This wheeling and dealing has really hurt my feelings. From surfer to surfer, our bond is drowning in the flood. Yeah, one down, one down. Devin Pinto, your vote was a heartbreaker. Your vote was a life taker.
And that was the latest from Weezer Necky.
That's right. Oh my God. I have to issue like one Courtney demerit for the fact that he resisted the opportunity to rhyme like Donna! Just Donna!
Donna!
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the only Courtney demerit to issue. Otherwise, that was spectacular.
You can vote for your favorites every week on the Wand Off by going to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. And then be sure to check out the exclusive music videos of each entry in the top five put together by RHAP superfan Jason Curtis Rivera.
Jason's the man. Oh, my God.
Go to robhasawebsite.com/wandoffvideos. Don't forget, this week will be the holiday classic Wandoff, and we'll learn the true meaning of the holidays. Get those entries in by Thursday. Back to you in the studio, Rob.
Oh, my God.
Casey Kasem, Force Ghost out.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Casey, once again, for coming in.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That was a special experience, guys. What just happened here was magical.
Kevin, what's your reactions to all of this?
I'm going to be like, I'm going to piss off people because, like, with The Force Awakens, I am pro this new direction here for the Wiggle Room.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
That, do you have a pick? Would that be poisoning the well to have Kevin cast a vote?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if this is all
I
about...
think if me or you said which one, we'd be putting a thumb on the scale.
I mean, it's so cheesy, but, like, straight up, Ryman Sayed Ain't So with Devin Pinto, I can't. I think that's my pick, just based on that.
All right. We know where Kevin's voting.
Actually, when are we going to reveal the results? So I guess we'll reveal the results of this wand off in the holiday wand off.
The holiday wand off.
And then the final wand off is going to be taking place probably the later half of Christmas week.
That sounds correct.
Yes, and so we're
getting close.
So if you win the wand off any given week, you get a buff into the final wand off, and then that's going to be a tournament of champions. So it's going to be
intense,
a battle to the death.
Oh my God! Yeah, we're still working on lining up our judges panel.
Yes.
Rob and I had some talks today, and it seems pretty good. Yes.
Larry David is going to be one of the celebrity judges.
Larry David is our judge.
And by Larry David, we mean Larry David Murphy.
Enough.
I will tell you why I think that this song is the best song. It deserves your vote.
The half Larry David Murphy is a terrifying prospect indeed.
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. So where do we go from here? Check out our Star Wars podcast that we recorded earlier today. That's up on postshowrecaps.com by the time you're listening to this. Josh, what's coming up for you?
Oh, my God. Survivor finale is what's coming up for me. I will be there. I will be there with bells on. I will not actually be wearing bells, but I will be there. And I will be talking to the final five. I will be talking to the winner. May or may not have a Jeff Probst story or two for you guys. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be back here the following day, Rob, talking to you about everything that we saw. Okay. And hopefully a great finale. We will be able to at least an eventful finale. Even if it sucks, I would just like for it to be eventful.
Right. So should be a lot of fun. Follow Josh Wiggler on Twitter at Round Howard. And then, Kevin, this was such a great tradition that we were able to keep having you here on the final Wiggle Room of the season. Now, you be more likely to listen to the Wiggle Room in Survivor 36 now knowing what goes on here?
If
he just made a face that suggested no.
Can I just get a Spotify soundtrack of all the songs? Because that I might do.
Wiggle Room can't crack the Mahadeo Spotify playlist.
I don't think the Wiggle Room is for the casual Survivor fan. Just a hunch.
All right. Follow Kevin on Twitter at Kev Mahadeo.
That's right.
Nailed it. Got that right.
Keith nailed it.
Okay. What is the hashtag today?
Half Larry David Murphy was a latecomer. That was a late arrival. Force Ghost Casey Kasem was also in the mix. We've got 280 characters to play with now, so these hashtags can be a mouthful.
We have a lot to play with. Kevin, do you have a thought on the hashtag?
I kind of really like half Larry David Murphy personally.
Larry David Murphy. Okay. I'm looking at, like, sometimes I write stuff down. I can't even.
I don't want to say what's written down in the middle of this blue index card that Rob is holding up.
Yes, that's a good hashtag. That's a great hashtag.
Yes, it is. That, lewd.
Because Rob cares about the environment. I have recycled the cards from the match game.
And that's commendable.
I have like index cards that I write on during the shows, but on the back of them are answers that were written down during the match game that we did at the Hollywood Improv back in October. So not a family friendly answer.
Not a fam. I'm looking at it, and it is in Dr. Mike's wheelhouse. This is what I'll say.
Rob, you come see me. You're not going to need to even think about that word anymore.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Terrifying. Right, the implications.
All right. You can play your own match game there.
Oh
right.
My God.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Stay tuned. We got News AF coming up, and then we'll get into all of our Survivor finale coverage. Rob is the website.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Survivor's got me down. They took out a fisherman. They should have voted off Chrissy. They should have stuck to the plan. Bryce, Isaiah's daughter. They're all missing you.
Daughter.
But you told Ben to bring the ammunition. And he came gunning for you.
For like 15 years.
All the people's doctor went coconuts through a seashell.